And if you'd like to write something nice about your mother, please fill that out, send it to Lynn. We'll read some of those online there. We'll post them. I think it's nice to share. If you have maybe a photo of your mom or a way that you can tell her that you love her, please do that. It'd be great to honor moms next Sunday. I hope all is well with you. We have food boxes available, some toilet paper if you need anything. Just let us know. On Wednesday from 11 to 1, we're here to distribute that. We've had many go out, and I want to thank all of you for bringing in the material. If you need prayer or just a listening ear, just we're available for you. I want to make a special prayer request. Phil is in the hospital. It's heart-related. So if you just pray for Phil, that he'll recover well there. We talked to him on the phone yesterday. He's stable, but we need to hold him up in prayer. And church, I want to thank all of you for your faithfulness and giving. It speaks of your character and your concern. I do have a praise report. Bob Wilker got back from testing for his cancer. Some of his cancer is totally gone. Other parts have reduced down from 9 to 3. So let's just believe totally it'll be gone, totally removed from his body. I've never really seen Bob Wilker dance, but he put a little dance on for me the other day when he stopped by. So it's really awesome, but that's a great praise report that God is in control. He is Lord, and he is Lord of all. So let's continue to hold him up, that there'll be no cancer left in his body, that Jesus is Lord. I want to make you aware that I know the governor's expanded the time apart for the end of the month. I'm really praying what the Lord wants us to do. I honor those that are in authority. I'm also praying, what does God want us to do too? That we become obedient in every area. I don't walk in fear on any level. I agree that God's able to do more than we can ask or think. I speak corporate healing over the whole body, and I believe that God can honor that word. And truly, the church needs to be a light in these days. Like many of you, I'm tired of hiding in out, and my message title this morning is Come Out of the Cave. So with that in mind, we want to take communion together this morning. Hopefully that you have your elements together there, and I know many of you are logging on, and we know that it takes a little bit of time, but I'm going to take communion this morning as a church. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 22, and if you would, get your elements ready there. I appreciate all that Jesus has done, and even while he was going to be betrayed and go to a cross, that he took time to institute communion, that common union with his disciples. We know that this binds us together, and I know that we're in different locations, homes, maybe you're at your work, but we can still partake together. There's power in communion. There's power in those elements there. And in Luke 22, verse 19, it says, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When I look at this communion, he's speaking of his body here, that his body's going to be broken. They're no longer the blood of bulls and goats, but the precious blood of Christ will redeem us, will work in us and through us. And I have to believe that his disciples didn't have the full magnitude of him offering up his body, but now we can have that abundance revelation by the Holy Spirit, that his body was broken for us. And as Christians, we really need to look to those things in faith, that he took stripes on his back that we could walk in health, that we need to speak that word and believe that he's able. What he took on the cross and also on his body, it did it for us. So when we do this in remembrance of him, that he is an awesome God. Somebody say an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a loving God. But with that, we need to reverence him also, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So church, as we partake together in communion, let's do this in remembrance of him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we take this communion, Lord God, in remembrance of you. Lord, all the Lighthouse family that are represented, Lord, the extended family, and Lord, all this that will go forth in a message to others, that, Lord, we do this in remembrance of you, that you are an awesome God, that we love you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Lord Jesus, we pray that healing virtue will continue to flow. Lord, we examine your body, Lord God. So we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus that health, strength, and blessing to flow in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the bread, church. With that also, in verse 20, Luke 22:20, likewise, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is in the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. When I think about what the Lord has done, he just didn't give, he gave all. When you think about it, his blood was going to be spilled all the way from the garden, all the way to the cross in Golgotha. That precious blood of Christ. And he shed it because of our sins. Like the lamb that had to be offered. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you think about the magnitude of that, that the sins of mankind was placed upon him. And that sacrifice pleased the Father. That made an atonement for sin. What Adam lost in the garden, Jesus brought back. And if you think about it, what great love that God would offer his own son for us to bring us back into glory. What a privilege. That forever we can shout his name, forever we can praise his name, forever we can thank him for what he's done for us. And that blood that cleanses us from all sin, not just some sin, all sin. That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So church, let's partake together. He is a good God. Can somebody say amen? As I begin to start this message, I really want to have a time of prayer together. That we pray against this virus, that it comes to an end. I know many are getting cabin fever, want to get out. I understand it. And I know the warmer the weather gets here in Michigan, the more we're going to want to get out and do things. But let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against this virus. Lord, you're able to bring it to naught. So, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name for a stay upon. That, Lord, you'll remove it, Lord God, and blow it away. Lord, as a nation, Lord God, we humble ourselves. Lord, as Lighthouse family, we humble ourselves to seek your face. You said then you'd heal our land. Father, we pray for divine protection over our families. Lord, over our extended families. Lord, those that we know in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to search each heart. We ask you, Lord God, that saving knowledge will come to every door. That, Lord, every seed that's been planted, Lord, that it'll be watered now in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to bring a mighty harvest. Lord, for those, Lord God, I pray, Lord, in agreement here that Jesus will see mighty, miraculous moves. That Holy Spirit will be prepared, Lord God, to listen to you. To walk in your ways. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus for this downtime for many that will be, God, an opportunity to seek your face, to renew that quiet time. Lord, to have true family devotions gathered around your word. Thy word is true. Thy word is truth. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to go before us now. That, Lord God, we look to you, Lord God. Bring us back in the assembly together. Lord God, truly, Lord God, every joint supplying. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus for your Holy Spirit to search out each one. That, Lord Jesus, we want to be more like you in all that we say and do. Lord, that our character and our conduct truly are lining up. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for an empowering by the Holy Spirit. That signs and wonders will follow the believer. That, Lord God, truly a powerful witness to impact this nation. That society can be changed by the power of Almighty God. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to you today. Lord, open up our understanding in your word. Lord, teach us, Lord God. Drop in our spirit what we need, Lord Jesus. Lord, that daily bread that we all need. In your mighty name, amen. Well, if you would, church, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 22. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 22, and we're going to start with verse 1. My message title this morning is Come Out of the Cave. Like, there's some good caves. There's a man cave. That's a good one. I know there's a bat cave, but how about come out of our caves? Like many of you, I really want to see this church filled again. I mentioned before that the blue chairs are nice, but I like people in them. So if you would, hey, keep praying. We're going to come together real soon. When I begin to deal with this message here, I begin to see a group of individuals that came to David. And I really believe that it's going to be like that in these last days. And in 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, who came to him? Look at the verse. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down to him. Look at verse 2. And everyone who was distressed, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented came to him, so that he made them captain over them, and there were about 400 men. Notice those who came, those who were distressed, that means they were compressed, they were lying in pain, maybe their life was overwhelmed. They came to him in Psalm 86, verse 7, in the day of trouble I will call on thee, and you will answer me. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 7, in my distress I called unto you. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my voice out of his temple. My cry entered into his ears. In Psalm 118, verse 3, let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. I believe in these last days, the church needs to be ready for those that are in distress. We need to open up our hearts to those. There are some people lying in pain. Sometimes life feels overwhelming, even more than ever. There are a lot of people that are unemployed right now, and it's a compression upon them. A lot of people are furloughed. And many times it's an overwhelming feeling. When's your next meal? How are you going to be able to meet your bills? The church needs to be there like it was for David. Notice those who came to him. It said those that were in debt. They owed everyone. Those that have a hard time managing life. They came to David. Notice also the discontented came, unable to be satisfied. They're embittered in soul. They're dissatisfied with their present condition. They all came to David. Notice it wasn't the noble, the mighty, the kings. These are who came to David. And what I appreciate about David and his character, he didn't push folks away. He didn't say you had to look a certain way or act a certain way or dress a certain way. He received who came. That's how the church needs to be. We can't be judgmental on any degree. We have to look and say, Lord, you bring them in, because all need Jesus. When I look today, those that are embittered in soul or dissatisfied, we have the answer. It's like you can be complete in Christ. Like many of you that became born again, it changed. Things changed in your heart, that you knew that you had purpose, that you knew when you breathed your last, heaven will be your home. Notice also who came to him, his family. It's like your dynasty comes. Notice those that were discontent, those that were in debt, those, and also the family came. In these last days, we need to believe that also. I want all my family to be saved. Every one of them. Like many of you, I'm praying for my family. But notice his family came to him. We also need to see that in these last days. Church, we need to be ready. When I look at those that are distressed, those that are in debt, those that are discontent, and also our dynasty, our family, that's a good thing, because our future is in God's hands. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 3, look at this verse. And David went down there to Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God has for me. When it comes to the future, our future will be determined by God. I say that again. Our future will be determined by God. In Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, them that persecute me. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says this, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And in Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. When I look at our future, listen, there are some things that are clearly not seen for us. There are some things that are in his hands. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself tomorrow, for you know not the day will bring forth. We have to trust in the Lord that when we can't see clearly what's next, that he's for our good. And if you think about it, the Lord has never let one person down. When we blame the Lord for things, it's only because we need to mature in those areas. He's always good. He is always great. He is always gracious. That's his nature and character. There are times when we're tested, we get to see what's in us, like lemons. Now, I don't really care for lemonade. Some do. It's a little bitter for me. But when you squeeze a lemon, what's what comes out? Well, when we get squeezed, what's coming out? Is flesh still coming out, or is the Spirit of God starting to come out? You get filled enough, the flesh will come out, but more Spirit will come out of your life. When I look at the future, we need to provide wisely. We need to provide wisely for the future, then wait. Say, Lord, you're here with us. Like, there's times of patience and there's times to exercise. When God's in our future, we need to receive it that what's going to come is from him. Because I know in Scripture it says, no good thing will God withhold for those who walk uprightly. I often pondered eternity. I do. I want to have a mindset that I'm traveling through here. This is not my end. I have a builder and maker who's God. And when I realize that I'm going to be forever with him, that is such a glorious thought. And then I couple it with people, that I get to be with you forever. That is a wonderful thing for me. That somebody gets to be my neighbor. Maybe I get to be your neighbor. It really doesn't matter. But people will make heaven too. We'll be gathered around the throne. And can you imagine that praise party? Can you imagine every person from every generation, every nation gathered at the throne? Can you imagine how that's going to sound? You think there's an anointing now? Wait then. As we come out of our caves, we need to have a true prophetic word. Like I shared earlier, I'm really looking to this right now, that God has a word for the church today, that we operate accordingly. I want you to look at verse 5, 1 Samuel 22:5. And then the prophet of Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get into the land of Judah. And David departed. Notice that he heard a prophetic word. When we come out of the cave, we also need to have divine direction from God. And it's more than my people, I love you. That's nice, but it's still immature. We need to have a true, deep word from the king, that he wants to speak truth to us. For David, he's now speaking, I want you to leave here and go. Well, I'm looking for that word to come forth as we come out of our caves. That wise counsel and guidance is from the Holy Spirit. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, it talked about Solomon, my son, that he served him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches the hearts and gives understanding. We need that also, that we're having times to hear everybody's voice. You hear on the news, everybody's voice is speaking. Everybody's opinion is there. And it varies so much that you can get very confused. But when God speaks, it's consistent. When God speaks, it's full of good fruits, without hypocrisy, easily to be entreated. That's why the wisdom that comes from above, we can understand it and go, yes, and amen. Now, there are times the wisdom that comes from above may be totally different than the way you're thinking. It may be like, man, I don't know how the Lord can do that. But if we're willing and obedient, we eat the good of the land. If you look through all through the scriptures, that the prophets had to do some incredible things, like ask somebody for their last bit of food. How many of us would want to do that? Ask a widow, say, give me your last cake. And then have the word come, if you do it, you'll never run dry in your meal or oil. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We're looking for guidance from the Holy Spirit. Then we pray, Lord, give us wisdom. Wisdom, Lord, according your wisdom. When I look at David, notice in verse 5, he's moving out. If David would have stayed in his cave, he would have never reached his potential or success. He was going to be crowned king over Israel. We need to come out of our caves. For David, he's listening to that war. If he had remained in Moab, he'd have never became king of Israel. I wonder how many times that we forfeit what we could become because we're too afraid to move. We're too afraid to come out of the cave. We're comfortable in that environment. In Matthew 16, verse 25, whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In Acts 21, verse 13, even Paul had this. He was telling them, don't weep, for you're breaking my heart, for I'm ready not only to be bound, but also die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Even in John 12, verse 23, Jesus answered, the hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. By David taking that step, his life was in danger in many regards. You're going to see soon, if you read through those scriptures there, that Saul's going to persecute him. He's going to want him dead. But no matter what happens in life, if we're with the Lord, he's able to help and to see his mighty hand. My hope and prayer is this, when we come through this, that we'll be stronger as believers. That what a test for every single person, that no matter what generation, no matter what you were in, no matter what your occupation, this has touched every single home. Well, I don't want it to be that we become lackadaisical or at ease, but that we're challenged, that we're going to continue to serve him. You're going to continue to reach out, continue to make a difference. Because if you read the book of Revelation, there are more cataclysmic events that are going to come upon earth. Even Jesus said, there'll be a day like it's never been. When we come out of our caves, leadership's character will be tested. Now in your own devotion time, I want you to read 1 Samuel 22, verses 6 through 22. These areas here talk about how Saul was in the area, how things, there's envy, there's strife, there's jealousy, there's fear. All this will arise. Like every man of God, listen to me, you're going to be tested. Woman of God, you're going to be tested. And you're going to have to deal with these areas. And there are times where when you're doing okay, maybe somebody else rises up against you. Or listen to me, you have to deal with a situation in your family that you weren't expecting. When we come out of our caves, I begin to look at this as I sat down the other day. And I begin to look, why was he in the cave? I got a couple reasons here. Hopefully they'll minister to you. Number one, why was he in a cave? Number one, his integrity put him there. I look at him, David wasn't a perfect man or a perfect king. In fact, the matter is that his sins are recorded in scripture that anyone can read anytime. I'm glad that we don't wear them every day upon us, but all have sinned, even King David. But his integrity, he was a man after God's own heart. That'd be a great testimony to have upon us, that we can have that spoken. That when we finally depart from here, somebody can say, that man or woman had a heart after God. Secondly, I looked at the cave. He accepted personal loss. When I look at him, even though he was going to be crowned king, he didn't have an expectation like people were owed him something. He looked and said, you know, this is where I'm at. Thirdly here, I begin to see that the cave made it more accessible for the hurting and downcast to come. Some people feel that they're untouchable or I just can't talk to them. The cave made David accessible, that anyone could come. Talk about a humbling environment. Number four, why was he in the cave? I look at it this way, it's not very spiritual, but it's pretty practical. When you're broke, it's affordable. The cave was affordable. When I look today, he moved into that area. It doesn't say he paid much rent for that. It's affordable. Like some of you know, when you're starting out, this is what you have. And God knows that I've had some cars that I didn't put Jesus as my source on. I've had some hoopties that bless the Lord, oh my soul. Like many of you, it's like, yeah, there you go, but that's what you have. And fifthly here, why was he in the cave? Because it opened the door for his family to have access to him. That not only was he going to reach at least 400, his family could come. And when you're isolated in those areas, revelation comes, number six. Like my hope for everyone here is that you're spending some time just to hear from the Lord, to love on him, just to know that he's there and to renew that commitment. Like I've always shared that you can receive on Sunday or Wednesday, But that can't be your only meal. Each one of us need to have time to feed ourselves, our daily bread. And truthfully, when we even come to service, be prayed up, be worshiped up. That way when you come together, it's such a powerful impact. Like I've shared before, I got on my pulpit here, make room for miracles. They should be common among us. They really should. So Revelation, he was in the cave, like Elijah, if you're taking notes. In 1 Kings 19, verse 9, he was in a cave and lodged there, and the word of the Lord came to him. Well, one of the words of the Lord was, Elijah, why are you in here? When I look at this cave, it wasn't a permanent place. It was a time in life, like this time right now. We're not going to make this an eternity. This is just a time that we're moving out. And the seventh reason why I got is for safety. When I look, there's safety in that area. There was only one way in, usually in a cave, and one way out. Now, I know there could be channels. I know there could be exits. But generally, it's in and out. There's a surrounding that you're safe, like maybe your homes for a time. That there's a surrounding that's safe. When I look in 1 Kings 18, verse 4, there was a place for the prophet there that was safe, like Obadiah. Today, more than ever, I want to come out of our caves. I want to have this time that we can move and have our being, have freedom today, and to have a celebration, to have a welcome party when everyone comes back and I can see your face. I'm looking at a camera, but I'd rather see you. I'd rather see you and not just have time for like everyone scattered, but together again. There's something powerful when we come together. There's an anointing that you bring as a church that's unprecedented, that you can't manufacture. No matter how much is done by me, you bring an element that's powerful, and the element I really appreciate. As we come out of our caves, there needs to be order. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 3, notice that David went out, and he took care of his family. You need to do that also. In this order of coming out of our caves, take care of your family. If you haven't spoken to them, give them a call. If they need some food, bring it over. I know all the social distancing. I know all that. But people are more important. And if there's a need, you need to meet the need. Now, I know about safety. I know about all that. But bless the Lord, if somebody's hungry, I want to give them food, no matter what somebody says. Secondly here, notice that he took care of nearly 400 men. Now, when I look at this, 400 people, it says about, that's a lot of food. That's a lot of water. And yet David never freaked out at how much there was. He never said, oh, that's way too many. You guys got to go somewhere else. It's amazing to me that whoever showed up, there was provision for them. Now, how would you like to have 400 people come over to your house tomorrow? You'd be calling the church for some food boxes. There's no doubt about it. But the truth is that notice that none of them were ever that hungry. Now, if you read later on in Scripture, they did work, they did battle, they did all that stuff. They made David a captain over them. But what I appreciate about that is leadership needs to be inviting even if there's a need, that God can meet that need. Jesus never looked at the 5,000 and said, oh, no, I only can meet 4,000 needs, only 3,000. He said, whatever there is, make them sit down. We'll have organization and go. For those that are around us, how about make it this way? For the church, for our neighbors, those near to us, we need to have order. Reach our families, then those that are near to us. Thirdly here, when it comes to order, I'm going to drink a little water here, so forgive me. We need to have a prophetic word governing. In Amos 3, verse 7, surely the Lord will do nothing but reveal his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Notice it isn't just one word either. We don't hinge on one word. Even a one word can sustain us. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. That's how we need to look at prophetic words too. That we're just gauging it on the word. What's the word speaking? And I know this for a fact. If the Lord speaks to me, you have the Holy Ghost, he'll speak to you. That's why things work together. That's why if there's a prophetic word in the service, it isn't a strange gong or something strange in the midst. It's easy to be entreated. It gives us correction. Now, it also can give us a rebuke too. We need to take that as well as praise the Lord. But either way, we need to hear. So we're taking care of our families. We're taking care of those around us. But we're also hearing God's word. It's the total of Scripture. Every word is confirmed. During this time, I'm going through the New Testament again. I'm in the just finished the book of Mark this morning. That spend time in the word. Sow it in your spirit. That way when the word is out, it'll ring true in those areas. Now, you may not be able to quote every chapter and verse, but you might be able to finish the verse. When I look as we come out of the cave, we need to set forth and set out by faith. When David heard the prophetic word from the prophet, he went. And believe me, the future was in God's hands. But we also need to step out too. There'll be some people that'll be fearful that even after this is over to step out. I don't want you to be fearful. I want you to step out by faith. That fear will hold you back. Had David stayed in the cave, the story would have been written different. So as we get this clearing, as things clear up, as we begin to move, step out again by faith. Fear has torment. Fear holds us back. And how many things have we missed because we're fearful? How about even when it comes to our witness? You've been prompted by the Holy Spirit to share, and yet we kept silent. We need to take that step. Maybe the Lord will do some incredible things as we take that step. As we come out, there needs to be order, but we need to deal with those, like when we get in verse 6 through 22, to deal with those that are in opposition. Somebody's not going to like it when you step out. There's no doubt about it. The enemy doesn't like it. There are a lot of dream killers out there too. But you have to step out by faith, like David. He was going to be anointed king soon. Man, don't stay in the cave. God said, look, I want you out of here. I'm going to anoint you as king. And he made a difference. He made a difference in a world, difference during that time, and forever, be honest. There'll be those who oppose you too. Well, step out. But don't use your flesh. Don't reach out in the flesh. Don't hurt somebody in the flesh. Sometimes you just got to really just take it. Bear underneath it, and God will see you through. As we come out of the cave, we need to fight with those who are against, those who are enemies. When you read in 1 Samuel 23, 1 through 6, you're going to see that David and his crew, they're going to have to do some battle. We also are going to do that. We're doing it now, but we're also going to have to do it once we come back together. That the spiritual climate cannot stay the same. I believe the Lord was trying to wake up the church to some degree, to say we need to wake up. We have an enemy of our soul that doesn't want us here. He wants to oppress us. He wants to keep us hiding. He wants us, all those things are real. As the church, we come forth, we have to come forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Truly, we have the armament, as it says in Ephesians, that we need to put on the full armor. Those weren't just written that they're nice words. We're in a battle today, and we're in the battle of souls of men's lives. To get the kingdom of God forth, speaking that word. Every time that we take a step, the enemy wants to fight us or make us comfortable that we don't do battle. But we have to come forth with the power of the Spirit to do battle. When you read in the next chapter in 23, you'll see how David and his men start to do battle. And from there, you're going to see that many great, mighty men rose up. I believe that too, church. I believe that here in Lighthouse, there are great men and women that are doing battle. The Lord will call you forth and call you a mighty warrior. Let's do that together, church. As we conclude this message today, let's come out of our caves. I know we're still bound at home because of the order, but in our hearts, we need to come forth. We need to be prepared. We need to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. As we take care of those that are around us, our families, those that are near, let's do that with the power of the Spirit, that every need is met. Now, church, I'll share this with you. The many things that we've received here, the food, the toilet paper, many of those have went to different families. And I'm always amazed that was in the box or what was given is just what people need. So thank you, church, for your benevolence. Let's continue to do such. If you need to give, you can give online or you can send your offering in. Believe me, it's greatly appreciated. It covers every need, and believe me, the staff here, as well as myself and my wife, we're real thankful for all that God does. As we close in prayer, church, I want to pray for you. And if those that are listening, you don't know the Lord Jesus, I want you to pray with us with me. Maybe you've been away from the Lord for a time. It's time to get it right. Maybe you're a little fearful this morning. I believe the faith of God can arise in your hearts. Or maybe he's challenging you to reach out like never before. Let's close in prayer. And if you need the Lord, I want you to pray this with me. Church, pray this. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry, Lord God, that I've sinned against you, but I ask you now to forgive me, to come into my life, to be my Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life, and I believe that he died and rose again to give me new life. So Holy Spirit, come live in me and change me. Work in me. I believe, Lord God, that you paid the price for my sins, and I accept what Jesus has done in your mighty name. Now, church, I want to pray for you as a church as a whole. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to meet every need in each home, that the blessing of Abraham will come upon, that, Lord, there'll be no lack among us. Lord, like you did for David, Lord, you took care of all those that he knew. Lord, take care of all those. Lord, all those under the sound of my voice, God, continue to move in each heart. Lord, bring each one close to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, bring us back quickly in Jesus' name. Lord, we look to you, Lord God, to hear. And Lord, we will answer and say yes and amen. Father, your blessing upon, healing virtue upon, not one sick among us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bless their day in the fullness in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, I want to thank you for this time together. Wednesday, we'll be back at 7 o'clock. And don't forget, next Sunday, it's truly, truly Mother's Day. Bless your mom. In Jesus' name, amen.